Deuteronomy 31. Well, this speech that is Deuteronomy, it's a transcript of Moses' sort of swan song, his goodbye speech. It's said by Moses, maybe the last day of his life, possibly the last month of his life. If it was on the last day of his life, you would understand why he keeps on in Deuteronomy using the word today, this day, I appeal to you this day to totally commit yourself to God, etc. He says in verse 2, I'm 120 years old this day, in which case he seems to imply that this is his birthday, and he died on his birthday, it would seem. Very clearly, his life is split up into three groups of 40 years. 40 years growing up in Egypt, 40 years as a shepherd, apparently not doing much with his life, just sitting around, looking after sheep, etc. A far cry from the opulence of Egypt that he was brought up in, the first 40 years of his life. And then the last 40 years of his life, leading Israel like a flock in the same area where he had led sheep for 40 years. So, looking back in your life, you can also see that clear division of your life, that there is this higher hand in life. And that is all of God's grace. And it's just a comfort that life is not random, that we are not at the whim of just time and tide and a chance, but that there is this higher hand of God in our lives. And the fact that he died on his birthday, I'm 120 years old this day, I think indicates that, again, this was the hand of God in his life. But he says, I can no more go out and come in. And I think that's an idiom for leadership. I can't lead you anymore. Yahweh has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. Well, he doesn't exactly explain the reason why. He doesn't say, because I spoke, as the psalm says, inadvisedly with my lips, because I struck the rock instead of speaking to it, because I called you rebels and said, why should I get you rebels water out of this rock? And God then said, you, Moses, are the rebel. You have rebelled against my word. He doesn't say that. And throughout Deuteronomy, he does mention the fact he's not going to go into the land, and he says, God was angry with me for your sakes. It's as if even at the end of his life, he cannot quite cope with this. He had asked God to change his mind and to allow him to enter the land, but God didn't. And it's as if he resents it, that he could see the land now but not enter it. And, well, in a sense, yes, it was for their sakes, because earlier, at a peak of spirituality in Exodus 32, the golden calf incident, he had said to God, well, take me out of the book that you've written and save them. And Ezekiel talks about how all those written in the book shall enter the land. So actually, he is, in a strange way, getting what he asked for, what he offered. Although God says at the time, no, I don't quite work like that, Moses. You can't just be a substitute for these people. You can't sort of trade your salvation for theirs. I work on the basis of you being their representative, not you being their substitute. And yet, despite that, I think even at the end of his life, he still has this resentment about it. And yet, throughout Deuteronomy, you do also see his continual awareness of his own weakness. And, you know, he was the meekest man, we're told. That's a wonderful accolade from God to be called that. And yet, even he struggled with this issue of, well, it's not fair what happened to me. Yes, I did do wrong, but it was, you know, I was under provocation. It was only an uncharacteristic, atypical slip, and I got so badly punished for it. Well, yes, but as it were, just one sin, in between the commas, brings death. This is the whole thing of the situation in the Garden of Eden. They only disobeyed one command. They only ate a fruit. They only let themselves be deceived by the serpent, and bang, that's it. And that is indeed how it is. This is the seriousness of sin, and that cannot be negotiated at all. So on that point, he dies imperfect. And yet, verse 8, he says, it is Yahweh who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you, neither forsake you. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Well, this was the very promise that God had given to Moses right at the beginning in Exodus 3 and Exodus 4. And Moses struggles at that time to believe it. He says, no, I'm not the man for this. He does fear. He is dismayed. And so God says, well, okay, I'll send Aaron with you. God gives him signs and miracles to show him that, no, you really don't need to be fearful and dismayed. I will not forsake you. I will go with you to achieve this salvation of my people. And so what he had originally doubted about himself, he is now fully persuaded of at the end of his life. And of course, an exhortation from somebody who tells you to do something that they themselves have dealt with and overcome in their lives is that much stronger. And the fact that he had initially really quite refused God's command to go and do this work, to go and enter the land, and yet now he's absolutely confident in it, I think that that is a definite sign of spiritual growth in him. My point is that on one hand, he's strong, he's mature, he's got to where God wanted him to get. But in another area of his life, this whole thing about accepting the justice of God not letting him enter the land, he still struggles and he still does not fully accept that, I think, as he should have done. He makes the excuse that, look here, I'm 120 years old, even though he was physically absolutely fit. I'm too old to take you into the land. And anyway, God doesn't want me to, like he puts the blame on God, and he puts the blame on his old age. Well, yeah, as I say, this is somebody who's sort of renegotiating the narrative, as it were. And the simple takeaway point is that you die imperfect. All these Bible characters that you read of, none of them got to perfection, of course, because only Jesus was perfect. You think of Jacob, his last words about Shechem. He says to Joseph, I give you Shechem, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. But at least twice later in Scripture, it is emphasized, they did not take the land in possession by their sword nor by their bow, but basically by my grace, because I gave it to them. So Jacob died imperfect, not quite getting it. And his whole thing with Ephraim and Manasseh trying to still somehow give the fatherly blessing to the secondborn and not the firstborn, just as he had tried to do with Esau. Well, yeah, he's not completely got there, because what he should have learnt, as he did learn at one point, was that it's the blessing of Abraham, not the blessing of your father, that is of any ultimate moment in this life. And you think of Samson, his last words, may I be avenged on the Philistines for the sake of my two eyes. Well, yeah, that's not exactly a very spiritually mature thing to say, but they were his last recorded words as he perished beneath the rubble of the temple that he destroyed. Well, yeah, he wasn't perfect either. None of these people were, and neither will you be. And the point is, there's not only a warning against perfectionism and an encouragement not to get too frustrated with our slow and imperfect growth spiritually, but also, if it's true of you and me, it's going to be true of all our brethren. And yet, by nature, we are inclined to be able to see the weaknesses and the imperfections of others far clearer than we do our own. And so, as we get frustrated with our brethren, we think, eh, she's never going to get it. He'll never get it. He's just going to die like that. Yep, that's how it is. But it's like that with you as well. It was like it even with Moses, who I really think does rise here to a very great level of maturity in Deuteronomy. But even he has this weakness about this resentment about I'm not entering the land, and sort of blaming it on God, as it were, and just trying to, you know, push it off as a, yeah, just because I'm an old guy, I'm 120 years old, so I can't lead you anymore, that's why I'm not going into the land. Well, no, that's not really how it was. But, as I say, the point is that we die imperfect. We are saved by grace and not by our own achievement of perfection.